Speaking of hearing anywhere else, I have a wonderful guest in the studio this morning. Jolena Petersheim is here, and she's a best-selling author. She's had reviews in Huffington Post and Publishers Weekly and USA Today, and she's sitting right next to me with her microphone on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Can you hear everything over there? Are you fine?
It's great.
All right. All right. Well, welcome to WDRT. Have you been in the building before?
No.
Do you know about WDRT?
Well, I see bumper stickers everywhere around town.
All right.
But
all
it's
right.
Great to finally be in the studio.
Yeah, good. Well, welcome. So let's get to the book. What's the title?
The Alliance.
The Alliance. Now, it's been said by Publishers Weekly, and by the way, good job getting them to do a review. They don't review every book that that people send them. So
no,
I'm very pleased to see that. Publishers Weekly said this unusual dystopian work mixes hope and faith with fear and cynicism as Leora, the character, must determine whether our pacifism is merely adherence to her community's collective belief or a personal faith-based conviction as well. So where do you take that?
Well, I actually have a Mennonite background. Mm-hmm. I was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Our family moved when I was 3 to Tennessee, where we were living until the past few years. We moved near Soldiers Grove.
Okay. And so you're in the Driftless now.
Yes. All right. Yes, I am. It didn't take far to get here this morning.
Yeah.
But I just really had this idea after having that pacifist background, knowing my dad would not take up arms to defend our family if somebody would, for instance, try to break in. I thought, well, where's that balance between, you know, trusting God to protect your family and yet taking arms to protect? And so that was just a question I wanted to explore, as a lot of the Mennonites and Amish, as we have a lot of that population in the Driftless area, as they wouldn't take up arms to defend themselves, and yet they have this incredible knowledge of how to survive if the world would indeed implode, as it does in the Alliance. So I just wanted to take that and kind of combine it and just explore the belief systems of that and how mm-hmm. they collide as the Englishers and the Mennonites take up an alliance to mm-hmm. survive.
And so do you still consider yourself a Mennonite?
Or
is there a practicing Mennonite and a non-practicing Mennonite?
Yes, I wouldn't say I'm a Mennonite right now. My dad, mm-hmm. we were raised in a Goods Mennonite church until we moved to Tennessee, but after that, not really. But okay. I mean, I still am I love my heritage. I love the family work ethic and just, yeah, the togetherness of the community, and it's very beautiful, and I'm very glad to have that heritage.
Yeah, if you grow up, it's got to be in your roots.
Oh, yeah.
It really has to be.
It's in my husband's as well. He has Mennonite and Amish background.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Why Soldiers Grove? Why Driftless? Why did you end up here?
My husband, we have family here, Ralph and Sheila Petersheim. They have a big dairy farm in this area, mm-hmm. and my husband has always just loved them and been really close to them. They're just like another set of parents. Mm-hmm. So he would started coming up here when he was younger and got really connected and just wanted to take me too, and I loved it as well. So it's been a beautiful season. I miss having grandparents to my kids, but it's been a beautiful season. I'm so glad we did it.
Okay. Yeah. And these are the only two hot days we get in the summer.
I know. if the summer falls on the weekend, barbecue, right?
Okay, getting back to the book. Mm-hmm. So how did you go about developing those themes? And you've written other books before, too. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a moment.
Yes. Well, this theme just kind of gradually, it expounded in one of the major themes, that just like learning how to embrace faith over fear. And as we, you know, look at the news and all these things are starting to take place across the world, it can cause some anxiety in our hearts. So I really just wanted to try to figure out how to have a peace that passes all understanding despite, yeah, the world events. And so that's one of the themes that just really became personal in my own life. We moved to Wisconsin from Tennessee, and 8 weeks later, my husband had emergency brain surgery. He actually came into town here in La Crosse, mm-hmm. To Gunderson here, and they rushed him by ambulance to La Crosse. Yep. He had a hemangioblastoma. So they removed that, and he's doing phenomenally well, but it was a challenging season. It was my first winter in Wisconsin, and winter of 2014, especially November, was really harsh. So it was just this big transitional time. And so suddenly, this story about Leora and trying to do all she can to provide and protect for her family became my personal story as well. And I think it really, it made the novel come alive for me. And I'm so mm-hmm. glad that I was in the editorial phase for the novel and could just really pour myself into it. It was very therapeutic.
So what inner resources do you bring up? Well, how do you must have inner resources that are stored just for these occasions, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. how do you tap into those? How do you find the strength to deal with a huge medical emergency and a lot of fear, of course. It has to be.
Well, I think with my background and having been immersed in a culture that does cling to a strong faith, mm-hmm. I just really did rely on just my faith and just mm-hmm. that God would guide me through that whole journey. And he really did. And we were also surrounded by an incredible support system. Ralph and Sheila Petersheim, they really came along with us, and my other aunt and uncle in this area and cousins. I mean, they brought us food, and just the community has been incredible to us. And so I'm so grateful for it.
And how does the lead character in The Alliance, how does she handle this?
She has a hard time, as I think anybody would. She is one of the main breadwinners and support systems for her family. So when the world kind of implodes, it's just another branch of her own personal world imploding. And it brings some things up in her life that she hadn't really dealt with before. And one of the main characters in the novel named Jabel, he wants to take care of her and kind of be her protector, and she's not willing to just have a marriage of convenience, but to be independent and take care of her family on her own. So this just causes a large warring. And I had this image in my mind of this plane crashing, because it's about electromagnetic pulse. I don't know how familiar everybody is with that, but if that would happen, it would set civilization back hundreds of years in seconds. And that's one of the other reasons.
So explain that a little bit.
The electromagnetic pulse?
Yeah, right.
Well, this is just something, I kind of grew up in an apocalyptic-minded family. So we had, you know, escape systems and all these different things.
So the Book of Revelation was big.
Yeah, well, right? And just trying to understand maybe a little bit of that was from a fear perspective,
sure.
Like trying to understand, you know, what would you do if you're a pacifist and yet you've got to have a plan? Like, how do you navigate that? And so we just had these, you know, escape routes and what we would all do. So I knew about an EMP at a young age, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like a nuclear bomb, but it doesn't affect people. It just affects an electromagnetic thing. So it's set up high in the atmosphere and it goes off and causes this reaction where it can knock off the grid. And so sometimes military personnel, they have systems to protect themselves, but not cities, that we can afford it for our cities. So like water would shut down, hospitals would shut down. It would just be a widespread cataclysmic event. And of course, the Mennonites are mostly off the grid in the story, and in most of the older Mennonites, old order Amish, are off the grid. So they have ways of surviving, and yet Englishers would naturally be drawn to them because of these ways. And so just that, yeah, that collision.
Because they need their help at that point? Is that what?
Yeah, their wisdom and their help. And a lot of places have dry food stores and a lot of reserves. They have canned, you know, things stored up. I think in this area, there's a lot of wisdom as far as farming practices and all of that. So we would have a lot of knowledge on how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the populations that are, you know, you think of Chicago, you think of New York, Los Angeles, these places wouldn't have the resources to know how to really survive. So what would they do? And mm-hmm. yeah, it was just very interesting to try to explore, yeah, an EMP, you know, mm-hmm. colliding with this Mennonite yep. world.
And so currently, is that cataclysm science fiction, or is it
no, it's
a possibility?
Very real. Very much a possibility. I had a signing, because I still have a lot of connections to Tennessee, where I was from.
Yep.
I went down to Nashville, and then I also went to Atlanta, and I talked to this one man who works for the Department of Defense, and he said, this is very real. And he said that the military, they do have safeguards in place to protect, you know, some of their mm-hmm. some of their things, but the cities do not. And, you know, how would you do that? The water would shut down. Even if you have wells, a lot of wells are used with an electrical pump, so you need
Certainly.
Something to
yeah.
back that up. And just, yeah, it would change everything. I think in some ways it would be really good. I mean, it'd be, of course, cataclysmic, but as the novel kind of explores, we have these veils in front of ourselves.
You think it'd be a wake-up call?
It would be an incredible wake-up call. I think it would cause us to really see each other for who we are, and it would make us look really deeply into ourselves and our motivations and build our character.
Last year, in 2015, probably late in 2015, Ted Koppel wrote a book about the grid system and how close it is to going down,
mm-hmm.
and it was a frightening book, well documented, well researched, and he's well known. I mean, he's a former newscaster. I think he's retired now. Maybe even does some newscasting now. But he's been around the media, in the media, for 40 years probably. Mm-hmm. So people know him. And he said, "I still can't get people to believe it,"
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, he presents science and data and experience with it. He said, "I just cannot get people to believe it."
I've had some of the same reaction. in the you know, some of this is going down as science fiction. I'm like, it's not really fiction. I mean, we want to tell ourselves it is, but it could very well happen. But I think it's just a matter of still clinging to that peace that passes all understanding.
That's an interesting phrase, of course, a church phrase. What is the peace that passes all understanding? And does your main character accomplish that? Or don't you want to give that away?
No, that's okay. Yeah. I think she starts to reach that point. She has an interesting shift. One of the characters, when I was writing this, I had the image of a plane crashing into this beautiful, idyllic Mennonite field and just, you know, just collision. It was just a physical representation of what has just taken place, because an EMP going off would shut down planes and cars and all these things, or anything computerized. And so they had this collision, and I just, I tried to explore it and understand it. And it would just.
But can you accomplish having peace with all understanding without getting out of yourself?
I don't think so. I think you just have to face it and go through it and just know that. I mean, I've seen people go through horrific things, and I'm sure you have too in our lives. And yet sometimes you see the ones who just kind of implode when they're faced with that kind of event, and yet you see the ones who become almost stronger for it and resilient. And I wanted to kind of see, well, how is that possible? How is that possible? Yeah. And I think it's beyond our own human strength. And that's when we have to just trust that God has a plan regardless of what it looks like to us, to our visible eyes.
Sounds like a fascinating book. I'm talking to Jolena Petersheim here at WDRT. Her new novel is called The Alliance. Where can we get this book?
This book is available at major retailers, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Lifeway is more Southern-based, but it's there too. Amazon, of course, some independent booksellers. I know I just signed a bunch of copies at Foxtail in Atlanta, Georgia, and Parnassus, you know, but they'll ship. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to support the independent booksellers, which I really try to do.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can just, Google it, and you'll be able to find it.
All right. All right. And thank you for the book. What I'm going to do is read it.
My wife will
want to read it. Wonderful. And then I have Mennonite friends in Indiana, so I'm going to send it on to them.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming in. Back to music here at WDRT.